Good morning. Bring the Tuesday, May 2nd meeting of the State Affairs Committee to order and remind everybody to turn your cell phones off. Oh, you did. I had forgotten mine.
I'm ahead.
And this morning, present are Representative Elkins, Representative Ramos, Representative Gardner, Representative Lynn, Representative Gatto, Representative Seaton. And at this time, if everybody just didn't hear my other comment, please remember to turn your cell phones off. And today we have three items. We have oversight hearing from the Department of Administration on the State Health Plan procurement procedures. And we're having that oversight hearing as the Committee of Jurisdiction for the Department of Administration and also retirement benefits within that. We also have SB 134, Police Investigation Standards and Arrests, and we have a report back from the Division of Elections on the questions that they had asked at our original hearing, at our demonstration that we had. And so, in fact, I think before we start, I will just let everybody know you should have a copy of the report from the Division of Elections. We'll take that first here. That the questions that came up during that was about voter access cards, and if a voter access card was stolen from a polling place, could it be used to create a false card off a reader? The information we have is, first of all, the readers are encoders for the GEM system, which is proprietary, and they only sell to government those to government agencies that have those systems. Second of all, each encoder is programmed with specific precinct information. So if you had an encoder from one precinct, even if it was possible to create more cards, those cards couldn't be used at any other precinct than the one that's there. And third is those are worn on a lanyard by the poll workers, the ones that they have, and so that's the and also that it was impossible to transfer the ballot information from a voter access card onto an encoder. So I think we're pretty good there. It's good to have that knowledge out to the public as well. And the second question that we had was about the division when they selected the Diebold systems by and how that was done and what was the process, and that all revolved around having a compatible system, and so that went out to several bidders, and the bid came back as that Diebold was the only one that could make a compatible system so that we didn't have to have patches and links between the two. And so those were the answers to our questions. So I cover that, and so that not only we but the public would know that the Division of Elections had gotten back to us on our questions, and I'm glad they solved that. Anybody have any comments? Representative Gatto.
Thanks, Mr. Chair. For the record, I did have one thought at the time, and that was if I was able to duplicate the card, could I go in there with 10 cards in the privacy of a booth and vote 10 times with the poll worker not realizing that that's what I'd done? Now, remember that you said the encoder is worn on a lanyard and is only precinct specific, but if I only vote in that precinct 10 times. And I guess the question is, can I figure out a way to cheat? And that was the thrust of the investigation. And I'm happy to see that they came back to us. But I guess I still needed that one question of, if I was able to duplicate the card, could I vote 10 times? That would have changed the entire election for the borough mayor, 10
and
votes.
And Representative Gutter, that's a good point. I think what we also have to remember is voters have to sign in. And so you have the number of voters that came in and signed into the election, as well as a tally at the end, and those are kept track of. So is there any other comments on that, and like I say, I do want to thank the Division for Elections for getting back questions to us. So the first thing, we have an oversight committee with the Department of Administration on the state health plan, on the procurement procedures. We've created Scott Nordstrand, acting commissioner, is here for answering our questions. I have let Mr. Nordstrand know that since this is, there is litigation ongoing, that if at any point he feels that the information we are requesting could jeopardize the position of the state, that we will, at his request, we will entertain a motion to go into executive session, as we did under Homeland Security. And we would take, if that becomes necessary, we'll take a brief at ease while we get the form of the motion to make, unless my staff has that. And we don't know whether we'll get there, but if we do, that's where we'll be. Yes, Representative Elfers.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I got to tell you, I'm totally opposed to entering into this hearing in any way, shape, or form. It's already been before a House committee and a Senate committee, and I just don't understand why it's being brought back before the House again. I have a real problem with that. I have a problem with the fact that this is under appeal, and I just don't think we should be involved in it. I also believe that the Alaska Constitution prohibits the legislature from interfering in a contract, and in this case, by holding these hearings, I think we're treading on ground that we shouldn't be in there. And I just want that as part of the record, because I think this is not a good idea.
Okay. Thank you, Representative Elkins. Representative Gardner.
I'd like to ask Representative Elkins a question, if I might.
Representative Gardner.
Thank you. If we don't intend to take any action, but simply are learning about the process as a committee of the legislature, do you still maintain your objection?
Because it's under appeal, I do. Yeah.
Thank you. And we've been joined by Representative Gruenberg. And Representative Gruenberg, just for your knowledge, I did read into the record the response, or summarize the response from the Division of Elections on our questions. So you'll have those in writing.
So yeah, right. Sure.
Thank you. Is there anything else for the committee? Okay, thank you. Commissioner?
Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm Scott Nordstrand, Commissioner of Administration, the Department of Administration, and glad to be here with you today to talk about the third-party administrator contract for the state health plans. I've described the process to you in our prior hearing, and I guess would your preference be to just walk through some of the questions you've given me? Would you like to just ask questions?
I'd ask a couple questions, Mr.
Chairman. Sure. Representative Elfman.
Commissioner, it's my understanding that Aetna is appealing this process, and where do we stand in the appeals process?
The appeal, there has been a protest of the outcome of the RFP by Aetna. It was initially to appeal to a procurement officer. That appeal was denied by the procurement officer, and now it has been assigned to an administrative law judge in the Department of Administration, Chris Kennedy. Because I was involved in the process of trying to resolve the issue that came up in the process, the missing notebook and how do we get from here to there, I've recused myself as the final decision maker in this particular administrative process, and the final administrative decision will be issued by Judge Kennedy, I'm told, by May 15. So, I know there's been a lot of concern about this and about the timeliness of all this, and I'm very pleased that, frankly, the process has been able to be accelerated beyond what normally would be the case, so that, 6 weeks before any transition would occur, we will actually have a decision from the administrative law judge, as I understand it. So that's the process. After that process, if any of the parties are not pleased with the outcome of the final administrative order, then there would be a process of an appeal to the Superior Court and ultimately to the Supreme Court if it was, that was the choice, which would take, in terms of time, that's a much more lengthy process. I would say, I think it's safe to say that a Superior Court appeal of an administrative decision would take a year in that time frame unless it was expedited by the court, and the Supreme Court, in my experience, takes a year and a half or so to from the time of the appeal to an ultimate outcome. That's the process.
Representative Ellicott.
I just want to get into another one of the Sheffield things that Sheffield had a few years back, and do you feel comfortable, Commissioner, that the legislature is kind of bouncing around the outside of this whole process, around the edges?
Well, certainly I understand that the legislature has an oversight function. This is a very important a decision for the state. The changing of a third-party administrator is no small choice. We believe we went through the process in an appropriate way. We are required to, by statute, and it's unique actually to health third-party administrators, we're required every 5 years to put it out to bid. I mean, other contracts the state can enter into for a lengthier term, but there actually is a statute, and I don't have it in front of me here, but I think it's, let's see. I've lost it right now, but there's an actual statute requiring this kind of a contract to be bid every 5 years, and so we have to do it, and we've done it. So in terms of comfortableness, I'm a lawyer, as many of you know, and so we're in the process of litigation. I can tell you that every time that I come and speak to the legislature about this topic, it is transcribed, it is sent to the lawyers involved, it is used in the process of litigation. You know, my comments to the Senate Labor and Commerce Committee are now memorialized to some degree in the briefing that's now was filed on Friday. So there is, you know, I have to be cognizant of that, but I also want to be open to the committee and let you know what I know so that you can fulfill your oversight function.
Well, yeah, I think I said, you know, I just feel that you know, we're injecting politics into the process, and I'm real uncomfortable with that in light of what happened to Sheffield in the 80s, you know. That's no more, I won't say any more about it, but I.
Representative Elkins, you, we'll take a brief at ease. Back on the record. We're back on the record while we're waiting for staff to bring a.
I was just going to say, Mr. Chairman, I think that on Friday there was some filings that were filed in this case by the State of Alaska, the Department of Administration, the Department of Law, as well as Premier Blue Cross. I don't know that you've had the benefit of getting that, and so I offer that to you at this point. So my understanding is there will be, I suspect, one more response from the bid protester filed this week, and then a decision from Judge Kennedy, hopefully by the middle of the month.
From who?
Chris Kennedy, Administrative Law
Kennedy.
Judge.
Okay. Yeah.
I guess that's what you call him.
Yeah, that's right. I just didn't hear what you said.
Okay, thank you. And we are on the record, and we have determined that we are going to go into executive session, or there will be a motion, and we will vote to see whether we go into executive session. And that'll be under Rule 22 of open and executive sessions. We are in open session now. It will take a motion and a vote to go into executive session, and this will be for discussion of matters, immediate knowledge of which would adversely affect the finances of a government unit. That's Rule 22B1, and do we have a motion?
Do I have to make it in a particular manner, Mr. Chair?
No, you just have to make a motion to go into executive session, and after we finish with executive session, we'll come back into open session to conduct any further business.
Okay. Do I have to put on the record the reason for going in? Like, because it's involved potential litigation?
Yeah.
Okay. Mr. Chair, I move that, and I'd ask unanimous consent, that we go into executive session to discuss a matter which may involve potential litigation involving the bidding process here.
For and the finances of the state of Alaska.
And the finances of the state of Alaska concerning the health care contracts. And that everybody except the designated witnesses from the Department of Administration and any other agencies the commissioner has designated, and legislators, members of this committee and any other legislators in the room or elsewhere who wish to be here, be permitted to be here, but that they be under oath, they're bound by confidentiality, and that's my motion.
Thank you. Is there any objection to the motion? Representative Gardner.
I'd like to ask that the staff and members of the committee be allowed to stay under the same confidentiality agreement.
Mr. Chair, Mr. Chair, if you do that, that their name should be placed on the record.
Is there any other, is there any objection? Seeing no objection, we will, with Senator Representative Elkins, Representative Ramos, Representative Gruenberg, Representative Seaton, Representative Gatto, Representative Gardner, Representative Guttenberg is in the room. We will have Scott Nordstrand. We'll have Melanie Milhorn.
Vern Jones.
And Vern Jones from the administration. We'll be, and Louis Flora, committee staff, will remain for this. We will be under confidentiality agreements, which are statutory criminal as well as ethical violations, to take any of this information and let it out of our context. Is there any objection to the motion? Representative Gruenberg.
Just by inquiry, to Representative Gardner, were you asking personal staff to be allowed to stay too?
Yes, I meant the staff members for anybody on the committee.
Then I think we should put their names on the record.
They must be. Otherwise, is there anyone here who, Representative Gardner?
My staff, Iris Matthews, is here.
Iris Matthews. Is there anyone else?
Cody Rice.
Ann Pesco, P-E-S-K-O-E.
And is there anyone else that has a staff member who wishes them to remain? Seeing none.
Mr. Chairman, I better let Jane stay. And we can take the pass.
Would you put Jane's name on the record there? Representative Ramos, would you?
Jane Pearson, sorry, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. And so that's the staff of the committee that will be allowed to stay, and we will now go into executive session, and we will go offline. On the record, just for the record, we have had an executive session dealing with items that could affect the financial condition of the state or might be implicated in litigation, and so we've gone into executive session. We now come out of executive session. We appreciate the Commissioner of Administration and his folks coming forward to testify to us, and I do want to put on the record that I am much more comfortable with the situation and the procedures that the state is following, and we look forward to further communications from the administration, and thank you very much for coming in and giving us your forthright information and opinion.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
And for the record, that was Scott Norton.
Yes.
And so we have before us Bill SB 134, Police Investigations, Standards and Arrests. Do we have somebody, we have Cody to present this bill?
I'm sure he's heard it enough.
Oh, great. Senator Bundy, come join us. Thank you.
Thank you.
Appreciate you being here. We had a member just step out. He'll be back in
a
moment.
All right. Good morning, Tim. My extended memory staff will be here shortly. She took the elevator, I took the stairs, and I beat.
Isn't that the way? Do you want to go ahead and introduce your bill to the committee here?
Could I wait for the get my written material?
Want to wait for the staff? We'll take a brief at ease.
Okay, thank you.